is that we are followers or disciples of Christ. And we think of calling as mainly a call to a vocation, a career, as in, you know, being a school teacher or an engineer or a lawyer. But our primary calling in our life is to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord. That is the most important calling. And what is a disciple? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? A disciple is someone who knows Christ personally, is being changed by Christ, and is committed to the mission of Christ. That's what a disciple is. Someone who knows Christ, is being changed by Christ, and is committed to his mission. Mark chapter 3 says that the reason why Jesus called the 12 was so that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have the authority to cast out demons. So before they could be sent out, the disciples were to be with Jesus. They were to spend a lot of time with Jesus. So we know that the 12 lived with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They watched, they listened to all his teachings. They watched all his healings and exorcisms. And they traveled with Jesus. Though Jesus taught large crowds at different towns, most of his time were spent with his 12 disciples, teaching and nurturing them. But there were also times when Jesus conducted some trainings for his disciples. Both Matthew and Luke records the sending of the 12 to different towns to preach the good news, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. And it was sort of the 12 disciples' summer mission trip. The summer mission trip originates with the 12. And Luke also records the time when Jesus sends out 72 disciples. So apparently there weren't just 12, but there were about 72 committed followers, disciples of Christ. And Jesus wanted to train them too. So he sends 72 people out on a very similar mission to preach the good news, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. In Luke chapter 6, 40, it says, "The student is not above his teacher. Everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." So Jesus sent out his disciples on these mission trips so that they would become more like Jesus Christ. You know, they were to do what Jesus had been doing, preaching the good news about God's kingdom, healing the sick, and casting out demons. And in the book of Acts, we do see the disciples do these things. They speak like Jesus. They act like Jesus. They proclaim the good news. They heal the sick, and they cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. So to be like Christ and to serve like him, you and I, we also need to be nurtured and trained. We hear the same message in Paul's letter to Timothy. "You will be a good minister of Christ, nourished on the truth of faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." So Paul is also talking about being nourished and being trained to be godly. And this doesn't apply to pastors like Timothy. All Christians need nurturing and training to be a good servant. A minister means servant. You know, to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word that Paul uses here for training yourself is gymnazo. And that's the word from which we get words like gymnasium or gymnastics in English. So Paul, you know, we know that Paul is very fond of using athletic metaphors. And I think if Paul was living here in the Bay Area today, I think he would be a great fan of the Warriors. He would love Stephen Curry. Paul is pointing out some similarities between a physical training and training in godliness. And the first similarity is commitment. We know that no one makes it to the level of the Olympics or even regional competition without a commitment to a rigorous training. To compete in an event, all athletes go through daily training, daily practice. And similarly, no one can become godly without a commitment to pay the price of daily spiritual training. So there is a price to godliness. It never comes cheaply or easily. Becoming a godly servant of Christ requires persistent and painstaking effort on our part. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The athletes in Paul's day were competing to win a crown that would not last. But godly training, Paul says, will win us a crown that will last in God's kingdom. Second similarity between physical training and training in godliness is a competent coach. No athlete, no matter how much talented he or she is, can make it to the Olympics without a skillful, competent coach. Our coach in the matter of godly training is the person of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot produce the character of Christ without the work of the Spirit. The Spirit holds us to the highest standard of spiritual excellence as He teaches and rebukes and corrects and trains us through His Word. So we must constantly expose ourselves to God's Word, to be nurtured and to be trained. The 12 disciples were trained by Jesus Christ. But for us today, we are nurtured and trained by the Holy Spirit. And last similarity is the practice. It is a practice that puts feet to the commitment and the teaching of the coach. It's the practice that makes athletes competitive in their sport. A long time ago, I watched a documentary of Michael Jordan. I'm sure you know, most of us know Michael Jordan as one of the probably the greatest. Maybe Stephen Curry is up there, but one of the greatest, maybe the greatest basketball player. And in that documentary, the coach of Bulls at the time was saying that Mike was the first one to come to the practice, and he was the last one to leave. And we know that Michael was not among the top, you know, 10 picks in the draft when he was graduating from college. He wasn't that good in the beginning, but he kept getting better and better because he put in a lot of effort into practice. The Russian team was disqualified for the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang this year because the whole team 4 years ago at the Sochi Winter Olympics, they used steroids to boost their performance. So there is no cheating, no shortcut to the Olympics, and there can be no cheating or shortcut to godliness. In a team sport, each individual has to be trained and practice one skill, and also the whole team has to practice together to build teamwork. So for Christians, we also need individual training, individual practice, and we need corporate training and corporate practice. And each church needs a plan for its members to grow as disciples of Christ. And for our church, we have these steps of growth And these steps correspond to the stages of spiritual development. I think we have a slide of the wheel. There we go. So this is from a book called Real Life Discipleship. We don't like to hear it, but the Bible says that before we believed in Christ, we were spiritually dead. I mean, that doesn't sound, you know, it sounds very offensive, but that's what the Bible says, that although we are physically alive, that we are spiritually dead before we believed in Christ. And when you believe in Christ and commit to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are born again, Jesus says, you are born spiritually. And then you become a spiritual infant. It sounds strange because, you know, like you can be like 60 or 70 years old and yet still be a spiritual infant if you have recently believed and accepted Jesus Christ. So there's first the stage of infancy spiritually, and then you grow to be a spiritual child. Well, some of the characteristics of an infant is that, you need a lot of individual attention, you know, just like a baby. You know, that person needs lots of care, and that person does not know much about Bible or doesn't really have a Christian worldview, so we have to, teach and nurture. It requires a lot of individual attention. And then when you become a child, I think spiritual children, they can appreciate some changes that God has brought in their lives, and they can recognize a lot of truth and God's word, they want to grow, and also at the same time, the spiritual children lacks a few things. They are the ones who can say things like, I'm not really being fed at this church, so I'm going to look for another church. Or they say things like, I like my small group, so please don't add any more people to it. You know, so they can be a little self-centered still. And then you can grow to be a young adult. Young adults are God-centered. They are other-centered. They're mission-minded. They want to do, you know, they want to serve others. They want active faith. And then you grow up to be a spiritual parent. And spiritual parents are intentional about, sharing the good news about making disciples. They can reproduce. That means they can make another disciple. And they're strategic in their approach to Christianity. And they can really, they are very dependable also in their service. So that's the spiritual, it's quite simple, you know, spiritual stage. And it makes sense. It makes sense. Just like our physical growth, there is stages of spiritual growth as well. So the curriculum that we are planning for our church is, corresponds to those spiritual stages. And can we first show the seeker part? If we have someone who has never been to church, who knows nothing about Christ, and that person walks into our small group or walks into our church worship service, then we would encourage that person to first begin with the Alpha Course. And Alpha Course is an introduction to Christianity. And after the Alpha Course, the next step would be for that person to take this nurturing or training class called Jesus 101. It's about the birth, life, death, and resurrection, and the return of Jesus Christ. It's the very basics of the life of Christ. And then, you know, there should be a baptism or a confirmation class for another 6 weeks. The baptism class will be mostly about, you know, what it means to be saved and how we can be saved, what baptism means, and what new life in Christ is. So that's the level, you know, on that round chart, when it says born again. That's hopefully that will bring people to be born again to faith in Christ. And then the next level would be the level for membership. Membership. So, you know, once you're baptized, then you can become a member of this church, and that's about 4 weeks. And at a membership class, we deal with God's plan for the world, God's plan for the church, what it means to be a member, and how you can participate in church. And then there's just very simple courses that correspond to the spiritual stages. One course that corresponds to spiritual infancy is growing up in Christ, and it'll deal with five or six things that you need to grow, and it'll have a lot of stress and practice on how to do your quiet time, how to read and meditate on the Bible and pray. That will be the main emphasis. And then another course at the next level that corresponds to childhood is understanding God's message, and that is to give our members a deeper understanding of the gospel, of the good news. And a course that would correspond to a young adulthood is becoming like Christ. That's 6 weeks, and that's just apart from the book that we used in the past called Discipleship Essentials. And that is to take on the character of Christ. And, you know, this really doesn't mean that once you take that one course, you know, for just 6 weeks, that you're guaranteed to jump to, like, you know, the next level and you suddenly become a spiritually mature person. You know, it doesn't work like that, you know. You can be stuck at spiritual infancy for years. I mean, I know people like who's attended church for decades and they're still at spiritual infancy or spiritual childhood level. So it doesn't guarantee, but it will help our members to grow. And the next level would be the level that would, you know, kind of prepare people to become a spiritual parent, spiritual adult, and that would be serving Christ, taking on the mission of Christ, and learning how to lead a small group, to take care of a small group, to lead a discussion. So that's like the, I believe, you know, that's the minimum. That is the minimum that a church can do for its members. And we, of course, you know, we cannot implement all these courses at once. So far we've done the Alpha course, we've done the baptism class, we did membership class. So sometime this year, maybe in the fall, maybe we can implement one or two more classes according to this nurturing system. So that's the, you know, step that we want to, that's the direction that we want to head as a church. And all of these nurturing courses should be geared toward practice. For instance, if you learned about prayer, then we should practice by praying together or by praying individually. If we learned about serving, then we should go out and serve some people around the church. And if we learned about personal evangelism, then we should really go out and practice evangelism either on college campus, we have San Jose State right here, very close to our church, or by, you know, talking to people in our neighborhood. So that is our adult nurturing curriculum. And my hope is that eventually all these classes and courses would be taught by the members, not by the pastor. If someone is passionate and has interest about, you know, evangelism, that person or those people should be the ones that lead the evangelism class, or, you know, another class like that. Or a person, if the person is passionate about leading people to Christ, those people should be the ones that are leading and teaching the Alpha course or Jesus 101 course. And a person who is passionate about small group ministry should be the one that should train and lead the small group leaders training. So, you know, hopefully we can have mature members, Christians, teach and lead these classes. We want to have the contents of these courses in writing so that other leaders can take a look and teach the same content, and you know, then they wouldn't have to start from scratch. And depending on the feedback, we can always improve the contents and the format of these nurturing classes. For this year, our theme is being equipped, and we want to offer a few other nurturing opportunities. And on February 11th, we're going to start the Pentateuch reading, the reading of the first five books of Moses. And one of the reasons why we want to read together at church as a group is that, you know, we've tried reading the whole Bible on our own individually. You know, we had this chart, the plan to read the Bible. But, you know, I mean, a few people were very disciplined. They did read the Bible, you know, chapters or portions every day, and they did finish the entire Bible in 1 year. But most people, you know, most people just gave up in the middle because, you know, you get busy and you skip a few chapters and you get behind and you're like, oh, I can't follow the schedule. So a lot of people just gave up reading the Bible. So instead of trying to read the whole Bible, we broke down the Old Testament into chunks, into sections that are more manageable. And instead of reading on our own, we're going to read together. That way, you know, you just have to show up on Sunday to that class, and you can, if you just show up, you can finish reading at least that portion of the Bible. So that's why we are reading together, and also it is to have people discuss what they read. So, you know, if you read and discuss what you read with others, then, you know, you can digest the material better, you can understand the material better. So that is why we want to get together to read and to have some discussion. And also, I, myself, and Jungshin will give our members a brief overview, an introduction to each book. So that'll help us in reading and understanding the books as well. And our leadership is also considering one seminar on one of the books of Moses, one seminar on personal evangelism, and one seminar on faith and work. And another nurturing we want to start this year is one-on-one discipling relationship for 6 months. And, you know, I'll talk more about this when we do a new series on six discipling relationships. But we want to have a few people, maybe five or six people, sign up. And we will have a few elders and a few other mature Christians meet with you one-on-one just once a month, because, you know, you have small group meetings, you have other, you know, Wednesday night prayers. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. So just once a month, you meet together, and we will have a curriculum, something that you could work on together. But the focus won't be on finishing the curriculum, but the focus will be more on the relationship, you know, between a mature believer and another young adult, or, you know, spiritual child, or, you know, oh, that doesn't matter, any other member, just to develop their relationship. And it is for the mature believers to invest in your life. So we want to start that, and that'll also help our members to grow, and the understanding. The catch is that if you go through the 6 months with the elders, then next year you will do the same for another person. So next year you will invest, you know, 6 months in another person's life. You know, that is for you to develop a relationship with that person, to pray for that person, to support that person. So that's what we want to, and so hopefully it'll just continue and keep going until all members can kind of go through that one-on-one relationship with others. And you know, we may not be able to do this in 1 year, you know, in this year, but and we don't have to. It may take us two or, you know, more years to do all of these, but we do want these things to happen in our church so that we can be equipped and empowered to build God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit is the great coach, and he wants to guide us, to teach us and train us to be godly so we can make disciples and demonstrate his love and his justice. And our part is to be committed to nurturing and training and to keep on practicing our faith by witnessing and serving. So let us respond to the message. Let us just think about how we can respond, how we can commit ourselves and practice our faith. And let's spend some time in prayer, giving our bodies as living sacrifice, and let us commit ourselves to being nurtured and trained for God's service.